The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I am
right
calling
now,
my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I've never said this in my life. Training camp starts today, and the Suns draft at the end of the draft in 2 days.
Here we go, ladies.
This is all the same week.
Boy, I'll tell you what, in the Franz compound right now, you must be loving this, Douglas, right? The draft looms, does it not, Basin Onions? We say good morning to you. The NBA draft coming Thursday, and players, that being veterans, reporting for the Arizona Cardinals today. Training camp truly begins today. Obviously, once they have their 5 days of acclimation.
We have recently come back from vacation, and why in the world I never thought of negotiating in any contract days of acclimation for all of us after we come back, like Douglas, the NFL Players Association has done. That's brilliant.
I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen. We came in, and I remember after the run test, it was the next day, right? Did the run test when you came in. Typically in the morning, you'd get issued your equipment. You'd do all that stuff. You'd go through the physicals with the trainers. You'd get that stuff done in the morning. And then you'd take the run test, of course, in the afternoon. And after that, it was here we go. 5 days of acclimation in the year 2021 of our Lord. Now, all of a sudden, back when I played, it was 5 minutes of stretch before you knock somebody's face off. It's truly an incredible juxtaposition of the way that it was and the way the game has truly changed at this point in time and needed to, frankly.
There's football this week, I believe. I think isn't Thursday also the Hall of Fame game?
The Hall of Fame game. There's no doubt about it. It is being played.
Or no, it's not this Thursday. It's next Thursday.
The Steelers, of course, they've already reported to training camp. Yeah, it's not this Thursday. Yeah, right. It's next week. But they were the first ones to come in, as they are every year.
So you're a week and a half away from an actual preseason game. You have the NBA draft coming up on Thursday. And, of course, all of our eyes are on Cardinals training camp. Maloney, am I right? We're there Friday, right? Is that our first day? So we're going to be broadcasting live from State Farm Stadium on Friday. We have other dates, and Maloney did her job and told me, and I already forgot.
Yeah.
But we're going to be there live for a considerable number of days broadcasting. But in the enhanced COVID environment, we stay way upstairs in the booth, and we're not necessarily going to be near the players.
Right.
But it's going to be an interesting camp, because this year it's not all of the question marks like we had of last year's camp, as you're kind of finding out with the different protocols as they kept enhanced protocols kept enhancing. Now it's kind of a machine, like everybody kind of knows exactly what's going to happen, because both the Delta variant being so strong that we're still under protocols, but we've learned so much in the last year that you kind of know exactly what you can do.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting to see how this training camp is going to unfold, of course, with the vax situation and the non-vax situation. We all know DeAndre Hopkins made an awful lot of news about that. So what's going to happen with DeAndre Hopkins? A lot of questions for the Arizona Cardinals as veterans report today. As we all know, Chan is out there, Chandler Jones. Will Chandler Jones show up? Of course he's going to show up, right? He's going to show up, and he's not going to be traded, at least not today. Not this week, not this month. He's not going to be traded. There's no way that's going to happen. I think Chan has got an awesome opportunity here as well. We're going to talk an awful lot about that, but there are stories this morning, are there not, Douglas?
Yes. And number one, I don't know if this is, like, for those of you that are well-off foreign travelers, if you look at this as horrible American arrogance on my part, but the U.S., just lost in softball, 2-0 to Japan.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to act like I have any idea who are the better players for the U.S., who plays for Japan. I know nothing. All I know is Japan is holding the softball tournament in a baseball stadium that they didn't even hide the fact you're playing in a baseball stadium where they just took the mound out.
Could not even believe it.
The pitcher's mound is still there. It's just not a mound. And then they just cut out this turf and put a dirt patch for the actual quote-unquote softball rubber to be pitched from. And then they just dropped bases in the middle of a baseball infield.
Yes.
Called it a softball field. So if that's how much Japan cares about softball, why did we lose?
I have no idea. I really don't. I look at the United States of America, and why did we lose to anybody?
We lost in the backstroke. We haven't lost in the backstroke since the early 90s. We lost to France.
The backstroke.
I mean,
we lost to France again?
No.
We lost to Team USA, the basketball team, lost to France. Ron Wolfley reporting.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, again, I'm sure that somebody is upset that I'm showing true American arrogance that I think we should win the gold medal and everything, but it's the summer games. It's not like we're trying to ski jump against Norway here. Let's go.
You know what really bothers me, too, is just watching the breaststroke. That is so... Can you imagine doing that? How brutal that would be?
You think so?
The 200 meter? Are you kidding me?
To me, it's the butterfly that I look at that thing and I say, there is no way I want to mess with that.
No way, man.
I was a competitive swimmer my entire life.
I didn't know that.
Those were my two strokes.
Really?
The breaststroke and the butterfly.
Oh, Maloney, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Swimming is like running to me. It's just brutal.
It's better than running.
Why would you?
I would rather swim a mile.
Really?
I could swim a mile any day. I could not run a mile if my life depended on it.
Air is so much lighter than water, of course, Ron Wolfley reporting.
But you can't hear anybody in the water.
You can't hear anybody.
So you just get in your mind and you just go.
Okay. Well, it's just
interesting.
It's beating yourself. It's like marathoners. I'll never get this. I'll never understand what it is. What is that all about, man? I'm just going to run. I'm going to run as fast as I possibly can for 26 miles.
Yeah, I admit, I don't get it. I only run when chased.
What do you say to yourself? At what point do you start talking to yourself? All right. I mean, that to me is mind-numbing that somebody would say, I want to be a runner. Now, listen, do I respect it? You better believe I respect it because it's just you in the pavement. Oh, my goodness.
But to Maloney's point, there's other people yelling or running by, you know, at least it's swimming. It's just you and water and your ears are in there. I thankfully didn't raise any swimmers because I've heard horror stories about those swim meets.
Yeah.
The 10-12 hour swim meet. I might be making up that number, but the way I've heard swimming parents talk about swim meets.
Yes.
I don't have that.
Well, it's also the 4:30 wake up call.
Yeah, I don't have that ability as a loving parent. I would say, well then, hey, 8-year old, you drive yourself. I'm not messing with that.
Hey, you know what? We got a pool in the back.
And I'm not sitting there for that long. I'll wing it and stop by for a little bit, and I'm gonna be the guy that's gonna go, hey, you got beer here? But no way am I dealing with that.
You are so crude, Douglas.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. This is the Arizona Sports Front Desk.
Crass.
With your wake-up call.
Thank you.
Maloney, she doesn't drive. She swims us through the rough waters of the wake-up call.
So our own John Gambadoro tweeted about the future of Chris Paul last night. He said that he wants to be back and they want him back and that he is fairly certain it will all get figured out. Although the Suns can't talk to him until August 2nd, and that you can expect them to do things the right way. He added that he's positive James Jones will put the organization or will not put the organization in jeopardy of penalties or fines.
Saturday night is July 31st. He has to announce by August 1st whether or not he's picking up his option. And it sounds like he's not. And that could go two ways. He can sign anywhere he wants or sign an extension with the Phoenix Suns. And it sounds like the latter, which makes you feel pretty good.
Yeah, something tells me that James Jones and the Phoenix Suns had long conversations with Chris Paul before the end of this season.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of today, every NFL training camp will be open, in session, with players having reported and preparing for Wednesday's practices.
However, they don't hit because they're still in a 5-day acclimation period.
Yeah, once again, for the record, it used to be 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes to stretch before you get your face blown off. By the way, here's your mouth guard.
Big news out of Tokyo this morning. USA Gymnastics released a statement stating Simone Biles has withdrawn from the team final competition due to a medical issue. She will be assessed daily to determine medical clearance for future competitions.
Listen, there's nothing I know less about, I think, than nuclear physics, and number two would be gymnastics. So I do know what that woman means to the country and the sacrifice that she has gone through in order to be at the level she's at, and her athleticism is unbelievable. So I just feel terrible for someone who seems like a great person, but I don't know anything about it. All I know is the U.S. Women's National Team in gymnastics, I don't know if that's what you call it, supposedly looked terrible from what I've read, but I don't know if they should have been good. I should stop talking.
Silver.
They did? Okay,
they
I should stop.
Silver.
I should stop talking.
Yes.
I don't know.
Right. They won silver, but what a big blow to the Americans with Simone Biles not able to go, and just watching her, too.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Patrick Peterson discussed Chandler Jones's future on the All Things Covered podcast. He said he doesn't think Chandler will get traded, but that he won't be surprised if he does if the right deal comes up.
Wow. You know what? Honestly, I don't think Chandler Jones is going to be traded, Ron Wolfley reporting. I don't think he is going to be traded. Maybe midway through the season or before the trade deadline, maybe there's a possibility if, in fact, things aren't going well. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Chandler Jones is going to play, and he's going to get paid.
I think he is going to be. I totally believe he's going to be traded. I'm about 95% sure he's going to be traded.
Oh.
However, I'm saying it within the exact same confines as your answer. I think he's going to be traded at the trade deadline because I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to be about average and they're going to realize that at some point in this division, it's not going well and you might as well get something for Chandler Jones before the season ends.
I think your percentage is a little high.
Okay, 94 then. Coming up next, we take a look at exactly what's the most important thing, the one this morning, and that is training camp begins in hours. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
Everybody I've talked to this offseason about Chandler Jones has said the Cardinals aren't going to trade him, the Cardinals aren't going to trade him.
I don't expect a holdout. I expect to see him. There's sort of a feeling of, well, I don't know what he's going to do, but I do know the team expects him.
Would you welcome him in Minnesota?
No doubt about it. I hope we trade for him.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The One is the beginning of the NFL season, at least training camp-wise, in this region. Steelers and Cowboys have already started, but now is the main day for most training camps around the league to get going. First practice of a little bit more substance comes at the end of the week. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios, and are you ready for some football?
I don't know about you, Douglas, but I am ready for some ball. There's no doubt about it. The fact that we got to wait 5 days for them to actually pop the mouth guard in and start hitting somebody is just brutal. Just a brutal, brutal concept right now. And I wonder how they feel about this as well. I'm talking about physical guys, guys that love the physicality, guys like J.J. Watt. Does he look at a five-day acclimation period and say, that's just way too long? To me, if you want to do it 3 days, I get it. I understand that. But 5 days? I can't even imagine what that would be like, gnawing on your mouth guard, waiting to go out there and actually take the spot above your eyebrows and stick it on the other guy's spot below his lips. Bzzz.
Do you think that falls into the category? There's been a lot of moves by the NFL Players Association over the last couple of years to basically make it harder for them to lose their jobs, to make it harder for rookies to get acclimated quickly and to be able to get up to speed so that they are able to hold on to their jobs. Now, they say it's no. It's so we can have longer careers based on injuries, to protect us from injuries. But the fallout is guys like you that come in and try to hit people, hit their way to a job, don't get the opportunities like they used to.
I think I'd be cut day three.
Oh, I was going to say.
Honestly.
So do you think this is another great move by the Players Association for the older veterans? But I think there's a lot of things that have happened in the game that take away from your ability to prepare yourself for a football season. I am one of the people, and maybe every doctor listening will think I'm an idiot, and I support you if you do, is that I believe the body needs to get calloused for hitting. Yeah. I believe the more physical you are in camp, the more prepared you are for the rigors of the NFL season. And there are a ton of medical people that disagree with me, but I do have to ask, then why are there so many soft tissue injuries ever since the previous CBA was enacted?
Yeah, no, you're right, Doug Lisa. I do believe the body does become callous. The soul as well becomes callous when you hit over and over and over again. Now, the one thing that the NFL has done and they needed to do is take the head out of the equation. They did. CTE is real, Basinonians. There's no doubt about that. The NFL has done a great job trying to remove the head, take it out of the equation. One of the reasons why I am certain, Basinonians, I probably would be cut day three is because I was a blocking fullback at 222 pounds. Blocking fullback at 200 in an era when every fullback was 250 plus. I kid you not. 250 plus. The only way I could do my job is to take the spot above my eyebrows and stick it on the other guy's spot below his lips. Hit him right in the face. It was the only way I could do my job. And I just thank the Lord God that he has somehow, some way protected me at fat and 58 right now. Because I can tell you it was just a brutal, an exercise in brutality. And
were you really 43 years old when this show started?
What are you talking about, 43 years old? What do you mean?
Well, if you're 58
I'm
now.
I'm fat and 58.
Isn't 58 minus 15?
Why would you go to 43, though? Oh, the 50. I see what you're doing.
I just did math. I think 58 minus 15
you know,
is 43.
As a matter of fact,
I could be wrong.
You know what? I'm so jacked up about this right here. I'm going to do this. Mitch, do you have a beat for me right now? Do you have a beat? I want to lay this down. The year was 1985. I'm going to do this quickly, ladies and gentlemen. But training camp, the veterans are reporting today. The day before I was to leave in 1985 as a rookie, it dawned on me that I did not call my brother Craig and ask him specific advice that he might have. I talked to him about so many different things, about the National Football League, the fact that he was in the NFL 5 years before I was, playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, yet it dawned on me I never asked him for specific advice as to how to make a football team. So I picked up the phone the day before I left for training camp, and I called him, and I said, Craig, you know what, I'm a little nervous right here, and it dawned on me that I never asked you specific advice. Do you have any advice for me going into this training camp as to how I should make a team? Craig paused on the phone, Basinonians. He was quiet. And then he said, Ronnie, shut your mouth, respect everybody, and pick a fight with the toughest guy on the team. The year was 1985, and I was getting ready to go to training camp. Think about that story.
How long did he think about it? Did that just come right off the cuff?
No, I'm telling you, it was about 3 seconds.
Wow.
So just let's
that's impressive.
Reenact that. Ronnie, see how uncomfortable that is? That little delay right there, that's what it was. Shut your mouth, respect everyone, and pick a fight with the toughest guy on the team.
How long did it take before the fight?
It took day three of pads. Day three of pads right there.
You want a piece of me?
It's just, you know, that's part of the game and how much the game has absolutely changed based on audience.
Did you take the first 3 days to size up the competition? Is that why it took 3 days?
No, no. I did not pick the fight. The fight picked me.
Really?
Yeah.
Sit down, Joe. Huh? Sit down quick.
The fight picked me, and it was Leonard Smith, very, very tough, strong safety, first-round pick, very physical guy, ran a 4.4 and was 211 pounds, nothing but solid mass, very tough, very, we called him the devil. He literally had a widow's peak coming down the front of his head. Google it, my friends, Leonard Smith. It was truly incredible, but the brutality of it. Once again, it's the thing I miss the most to this day when I allow myself to think back to what it was like to be a player, what it was like day one of training camp to actually show up. Oh, my goodness. It was brutal is what it was. And I loved every second of it. And why am I talking about this right now?
We did.
It's like
we,
I'm in the confessional or something.
We did have a plan for this beautiful
what
part of the
was
program.
That
but
plan?
I think a lot of we have plans for every one, meaning at 15 after when we do the one. And this one we were going to devote to an article from azcardinals.com in which Darren Urban wrote out his questions for camp.
Okay.
But then at 7:15 and 8:15, it was our questions.
Okay. Do you have a question, Douglas? Do you have a question you'd like to ask? What question is that? I've got one right off the top.
Right,
you're not ready to go.
Well, no, I'm always ready.
Okay.
You're on a roll.
Good. Go ahead.
My number one question of all of camp, is Kyler Murray ready?
There you go.
I mean, is Kyler Murray a really nice young man who's going to have a career where you always wonder what could have been, or is he ready to take that step and be the guy in the NFL? You could argue either way. There's enough of an example when you look at the awards and you look at the attention that his trajectory is outstanding.
Yes.
And there's another argument that says he's just never quite going to get it as a leader, and therefore it will always be great athletic plays that are done in the regular season. And he's not a postseason guy because he won't get the team there.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's where
I'm not saying anybody's wrong with however way you go on that.
I look at it, the very first question that I have, Basinonians, about this year, training camp, of course, but this year is Kyler Murray. Will he take another step forward in his quest to become a true franchise quarterback? That's what I want to know. Listen, I said it from day one. You're not a franchise quarterback. Just because everyone says you're a franchise quarterback, just because the Arizona Cardinals believe you're a franchise quarterback, it doesn't mean you are a franchise quarterback until you develop and prove that you're a franchise quarterback. And that typically takes 2-3 years, 2 or 3 years, somewhere in there. Kyler Murray, will he take another step forward in that quest to become the true franchise quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals? He needs to be better in terms of leadership. And what I love about it, he identified that himself. One of the biggest money cuts of the offseason was Kyler Murray saying, you know what, I got to get better. And the first thing he mentioned was leadership.
I think all aspects of the game, leadership, taking care of the ball, being better as far as accuracy, just the whole game.
Because he's willing to acknowledge that he's got a great chance of beating it. He's got a great chance of overcoming that obstacle. He's willing to acknowledge what it is where he needs to get better. Hey, so much of the time, Basinonians, people that do not acknowledge where they need to improve, they don't see it, you're never going to beat it. You're never going to get better. Ever.
Do you think Josh Allen is a franchise quarterback?
Oh, my goodness. Josh Allen has proven he is a franchise quarterback.
Last year was his third year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready to say it after last year, but I can understand anybody disagreeing. I'm not committed. But I would say the same thing to Baker Mayfield. I didn't like him in year two. Year three, I think he did a lot of good things. But I'm like 55% yes on that. But last year was his third year.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler, here you go. That's the trend.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Coming up next, what is the future of Chris Paul in Phoenix? We may have gotten a hint. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Lots of training camp stuff to do this morning, but you're also only 2 days away from the NBA draft. And Gambo with some news, our Suns insider, and it kind of will make you feel good this morning about the future of the Phoenix Suns. August 1st is the magic date of when the contract for Chris Paul is. Then he has to signify to the team. Chris Paul has a player option, which means he can say yes to it and opt in, and then he gets $44 million, and he plays next year for the Suns, and then he's an unrestricted free agent after that. Great that he's back. Really tough on the salary cap to just give a guy straight $44 million and have to eat all of that stuff or that spot up on the cap. However, if he opts out, that should scare you on the one hand. It could mean he's a Laker. Could mean he's a Knick. He could go wherever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. But he could also opt out and sign a contract extension, I shouldn't say an extension anymore because his old contract would be over. But he can opt out and then sign a new contract as a new player for the Suns. And that could be a 3-year deal where he is happy. He gets even more security and gets a longer term deal and even more overall money. But he wouldn't get all 44 in year one. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the team saves a ton of money on the salary cap. That would be the best for all sides. And some people think that's where we're headed.
What do you want to see happen, Douglas? Would you do that? Would you sign him to a 3-year deal?
Yes.
Think about that. A 3-year deal right now. Would you sign him to that? What if you had to eat the last year of that contract? What if you had to? What if, you know, heaven forbid, of course, something were to happen at Chris Paul because he is getting long in the tooth right now, as we all know, yet it didn't play that way. What would happen? Would you be willing to say, I'm going to eat that year. I got no problem doing that.
Yes.
That's a golden parachute for Chris Paul.
I'm saying yes because of what happened last year. When I say last year, I mean the year that we just finished. If the Suns would have made it to the first round and lost to the Lakers, I admit my answer would be no. But it would be, I still want you for 3 years,
yeah.
But maybe not at the dollar figure Chris Paul would want, and I don't know where that would leave us. It's kind of like my opinion when we talked about Madison Bumgarner. You know, if I'm the GM of the Diamondbacks, I don't know if Mad Bum is really here. I totally agreed with signing him, but I wouldn't have given him 5 years. So does that, no, now it looks like, hey, Doug, you nailed that. You were right. Well, I can't say that because I still would have signed him for 4.
Yeah,
and he still
right.
wouldn't look that good.
Right.
So I still could have been, you know, dead wrong on it. And I look at it the same way with Chris Paul. I might lose him if we would have lost in the first round because I'm not willing, out of fear of his health, to sign him to a 3-year deal for max for a lot of money. But now I totally am, because you can make the argument they're close to a championship. And when you're up 2-0, you're close to a championship.
And speaking of making the argument as well, Basinonians, never forget that is a hypothetical. It's a hypothetical situation right there. Who's to say that Chris Paul doesn't play all 3 years mm-hmm. if you sign him to a 3-year contract and perform exceptionally well? The one thing I do know is this. Boy, it's worth the risk to me right now. You're talking about the Phoenix Suns are one of the best teams on the face of the planet. As a matter of fact, one of the best teams in the basketball universe, your Phoenix Suns, with Chris Paul at point guard. Is that worth a 3-year deal, especially to a guy that really takes care of his body and is a pro? Oh, no doubt about it. I do that in a slam dunk minute.
Last week, Jay Williams was on his show, the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show.
I don't know if we'll see CP3 back in a Phoenix Suns jersey next year. You talk about super teams. If you're sitting there and if you're CP3, you've done everything you needed to do the last 2 years between OKC and now the Phoenix Suns. You've gotten this team to the NBA championship. You know, do you take this opportunity at 37, if you sign an extension somewhere else, is that extension in L.A.? Is that extension with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, your twilight years, your last chance to do it? If you're going to ride a horse, if you're going to be with a guy that can make everybody else better and still implement your strategy when you can, is that LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers?
Man, is that a great question, because of also, do not forget, his family never moved to Phoenix. His family is in L.A. LeBron's his best friend. It makes perfect sense. However, remember what Steve Nash said years and years ago, that he didn't want to jump around trying to chase a ring, because he said to him, the beauty of the ring is, even though he didn't win one, going through the pain of the journey and coming together
process.
Throughout the year and the process. Bobby Marks was on Burns and Gambo on July 21st, and his opinion was,
if Chris Paul wants to go to the Lakers for the tax mid-level at 5'9", God bless him, right? Like, if he wants to do that, good for him.
Because they don't have the money, right? They don't have the money for him.
They don't have the money, and there's no sign and trade. I mean, the Suns are going to go out and get KCP and Kuzma and a pick in 2020. You're not going to. You'd rather just let it go and kind of, you know, use cap space or bring back campaign and stuff like that.
So it sounds really, really good, especially after what Gambo tweeted, right? It sounds really, really good that the Suns want Chris Paul. That's a shocker right there. And again, that Chris Paul wants the Suns. Hey, listen, if in fact that is an accurate report and we have no reason to question it whatsoever, I can tell you right now, this is going to get done. This is great news. Celebrate. Because if they both are willing participants in this, they're going to get it done. And I would say sooner as opposed to later.
You know, it's really interesting. The draft is coming up Thursday night, and we're not going to know the future of Chris Paul by Thursday night. I would love, however, for the Suns to draft a point guard and be under him. Now, certainly, if there's a guy named Kai Jones out of Texas that is a center, and if he, I'm not jumping up and down over Sticks. Okay, I'm not saying it was is a disaster. I didn't like the draft pick of Sticks only because of other people on the board. I like the kid.
Yeah.
There were just other people on the board, Tyrese Halliburton, Shadiq Bey, that I like 400 times more than him. But I like the idea of maybe filling in somebody else for DeAndre Ayton, and I think Kai Jones is that guy. I don't think he'll be there, though. But two names that I like for that potentially could be there is Sharif Cooper and a guy that's highlighted on an ESPN mock draft. His name is Bones Highland. I can't even remember
Bones.
The kid's first name. But I don't want to act like I'm a stud on this guy. I watched one VCU game last year.
Yo.
And I more watched it as a fan because they were playing my Dayton Flyers and I wanted to watch. But I loved that game. I mean, he was in my notes for a game. He's one of the type of players where I'm not even working. I'm watching college basketball because I love the Flyers. And I noticed this guy. I go, I better write some notes on this guy. And but I like him too. But I really love Sharif Cooper. And why do I want a point guard? I want them learning from Chris Paul. And Cooper is 6'1", 180, and almost averaged a double-double, 20 points and 8 assists last year for Auburn.
Yo.
Put him under Chris Paul for a year? 2 years, whatever happens here, and then he's your guy. Like you mentioned, if you eat year three,
yeah,
I love that. I don't think the GM agrees with me.
I agree with that right there because I love James Jones and his philosophy based on earnings. I love it. He's looking for a specific kind of dude. He values fit more than he values talent. He values fit more than he values talent. That is such a different way of looking at things. He's looking for basketball players and not great athletes that play basketball. He wants mature players and doesn't like the young, immature headaches that a lot of guys bring. He wants guys that will come in and contribute body, soul, and spirit.
Well, I know
I love that.
You've always accused me of having a sickness for this, so I'll ask you a draft question, but I'll give you the background for it first, based on what you just said about the general manager. There's a kid named Quentin Grimes out of Houston.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me a lot of Devin Booker in just the way he plays the game. Tough, 6'5", shoots well, and yet isn't all that well-known, just like Booker was well-known by scouts, but not by everybody else because he came off the bench at Kentucky. Well, for Quentin Grimes, it's at Houston. And as great as Houston was during the regular season, still not a lot of people were paying attention to him. So I bring it up for this reason. Would you draft Devin Booker if you've already got Devin Booker?
Yes.
I mean, if you draft Quentin Grimes, are you going to find a way to play him when you don't need help at the two guard?
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and draft that because Devin Booker and that kind of talent is rare. And if you're telling me this is Devin Booker in the waiting, yeah, I draft him.
It's an interesting grab there, and I think he'll be there at the end of the first round. We've got more football camp to talk about. Number one, what is your involvement in camp? We'll find out. Text CAMP to 620-620 and be part of the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition. You're going to get a link if you do that, and you'll be able to hear from your favorite Arizona sports host, and you'll also have a chance to win prizes like tickets or autographed memorabilia. Just text CAMP to 620-620. The Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Coming up next, all eyes are on Chandler Jones. What's his commitment? What's his productivity, and what's the future of the Cardinals pass rusher? His former teammate speaks next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cards Camp 2021 starts today. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The NFC West, the NFC West, the NFC West. About 3 years ago, the Rams were in the Super Bowl. About 2 years ago, the 49ers were in the Super Bowl. And last year, the 49ers were the last place team, but we all know why. They were ravaged by injuries. and you have two teams that finished with above 500 and in the playoffs from the division. Third place was the Cardinals at 500. And oh, by the way, outside the division, the one team got their quarterback back on a plane last night, Aaron Rodgers, and you've got Tampa Bay as the defending champions. And the Bears made the playoffs last year. The Vikings were only a half game out. The NFC East is still the NFC East, but if they trade for Deshaun Watson, look out. And that's basically your rundown of everything. Oh, only the Saints have really seemed to drop out of this thing.
Of the Cardinals competition in the NFC West, who do you like? Who do you look at and say, man, they're going to be good this year?
I do like Matt Stafford. I like the guy. I like the family. I mean, I'm not one. I do blame the Lions on all the problems of planet Earth, I think, are the Detroit Lions' fault. So I do think Matthew Stafford getting out of there is going to be good for him.
No, I agree. I think the Los Angeles Rams are the team right now that I'm eyeballing. But I will admit, I'm eyeballing them because of that defense. That defense absolutely off the charts.
But if I'm a 49ers fan, I can't stand everybody talking about everybody else when you say, do you see who was on our injured list all of last year?
Yes.
You know, so I get that too. Here is something that you, I'm not even going to say what it's from. I'll just let you hear it first.
Do you think he gets traded?
I don't think he gets traded. Mm. I don't think he gets traded. But at the same time, I won't be surprised if the right deal come up. I think he'll get traded. But you know, that's kind of up in the air. I really don't know. I don't know, Mac. That's kind of a tough pill to swallow because you know, like you said, he means so much to the organization. But hell, you never know. You never know what that team gonna do.
For me, this is number three, and number one. Okay, is Fitz coming or not? Kyler Murray's leadership issue, and then you know, okay, Chandler Jones. Just how committed are you? And that is Pat P in his All Things Covered podcast, looking at the future of Chandler Jones, and it is amazingly interesting. Where you have one player frustrated over his contract, and now he's being talked about by a former player that used to be frustrated over his contract.
Hey, my thing is though, Matt, mm-hmm. Tell me this. How is, like, obviously this league is always about productivity, right?
Yep.
Who build football teams? Who in charge of building the football
the
team?
The GM.
Oh, okay. All right.
GM.
And what he did lately?
Say it again?
And what did he do lately?
What did he do lately?
Yeah.
The GM for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Shoot, he brought in J.J. Watt.
No, I'm talking about the record. Man. It's all about what you have done lately.
Oh, the draft hasn't really been good. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, the draft, the Cardinals draft hasn't.
But
been
how
really
come
good.
Coaches are always on the hot seat,
but GMs are not?
Yeah, that's kind of weird to me, huh?
Ooh,
that's the way that it goes, right there. That has always been the model for the most part. That's one of the reasons why I continue to say the most important hire owner is ever going to make is his general manager, because that's exactly what you're going to do. We all know it takes a while to build a team. It does. You can go worst to first. There's no doubt about that. But if you're talking about in terms of winning a Super Bowl, you've got to build a team, and typically you got to build it correctly. And that's drafting well. Now, that really has not been the case. And I think Steve Keim would probably be the first one to admit that right here. But having said that, a general manager is always going to get a longer leash than a head coach. Mm-hmm. It's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. Yeah, you hire a general manager back when I played. Oh, my goodness. Back when I played, you hired a general manager. The guy basically was going to be there a decade. You could almost guarantee yourself, unless he had some type of personal run-in with the owner, he was going to be there a long time. He was going to get the opportunity to hire two or three coaches. And I can even say today, most general managers are going to get two coaches to hire today. Now, they're not going to have as long a leash as when I played, of course, but a general manager is a guy that has got to build a team. It's kind of like Washington and how Washington works. Stop and think about it. Our government. The power really isn't the elected official. It's the guy that actually services the elected official. It's the guys that are there year after year after year. advising elected officials. Those are the guys that really have the influence and the power. It's kind of like a general manager in the National Football League.
He would never do it in a million years, nor would I think it would be a good idea for him to do this, but I'll bring it up anyway. If you could get Michael Bidwill to honestly answer the question, how many coaching hirings has Steve Keim truly made with a low amount of input from you? And I don't mean like, hey, you own the team, you have every right to talk about this, but there's no way if this fails with Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim should be allowed to hire his fourth head coach. Which, if you say Bruce Arians, Steve Wilks, Cliff Kingsbury, and the next guy are all all hires of Steve Keim, that would be the next guy is number four. But is there an argument to be made it's only his third? Is it an argument to be made it's only his second? Was Steve Wilks and Bruce Arians really 99% Michael Bidwill? And maybe Cliff is his first one? So that's the number one question if you want to look at whether or not Keim should be on the hot seat is really how many of these coaches have been his. My opinion would be Cliff is his. So that's one. And then, okay, he gets one more. But I admit to everything Pat P. said, even though it comes from a place that's probably pretty bitter, the draft record is not good enough over the last couple years. I mean, look at Rondale Moore for a second. You're trying again for a second-round receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many chances do you get to draft receivers in the second round before somebody's got to pay off in a big way?
Yeah, and once again, I think Steve Keim would be the first guy to acknowledge that, although I do have hope that Rondale Moore is going to make an impact and make an impact this year. I do have hope that Josh Jones is going to make an impact and Josh Jones is going to continue to develop. But listen, it's a general manager in the year 2021 of our Lord, Basinonians, if you're talking about in the National Football League, you're talking about a team builder. That's what it is. Yes, you still have got the draft well if you're talking about building a team over years. That is still, in my opinion, it's still the lifeblood of any organization, but the dynamics of team building have completely changed in the NFL. It's not even close. These Keim time signs, remember when that was kind of so, it was so different? Now all of a sudden you see teams do this all the time. Every team is doing it.
I admit, though, I think you're totally right in how they're doing it, and I think it's wrong. I think the draft should be 85%. And when I look at great teams, I always look at their draft, and I believe that's how you have controllable pieces financially to then make a free agent
splash. There are some teams that still do that. There are, but man, team.
You're right. It's the way people are doing it.
It's all about here we go, worst to first, and it's going to get worse with these quarterbacks, these established quarterbacks right, that are starting to actually spread their wings and start questioning what's going on in the front office. You're going to see even franchise quarterbacks move, and that was something that never happened. Isn't that right, Matthew Stafford?
Here's more from Pat P. on the All Things Covered podcast, kind of, again, taking a look at Steve Keim.
Well, I can tell you this much. The Cardinals paid J.J. Watt $28 million this offseason. I think that might have rubbed Chandler Jones
the wrong way. And I always think it's so weird for them to always take care of other – I mean, it's nothing wrong with taking care of other guys. But you don't take care of the guys come on, man.
That been with, I mean, since entering the league in 2012, Jones leads the NFL in sacks with 97.
Come on, man.
97.
Come on, man. Man got a sack every single game. And I told Chandler this because I've seen it time after time after time after time again. I said, Chandler, if you play your last year out, you know, if you don't get a new deal with one, you know, get the deal that you want going into the season, start looking for a new team player.
I think this is a huge point to be made, and it can't be understated, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you agree with Pat P. It has to do with the fact that there are a ton of people in the ear of every free agent. He said, I told Chandler Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chandler, how much is this? I'm not saying he's a pawn of other people's thoughts, but it's hard for anybody in any line of business to continually hear from other people that this is how you should handle it without it influencing you. And how many people are really saying to Chandler Jones, stand up. This is the contract you signed. Play it out and go where you want, you know, and things like that. That's That's the main point, is there's Pat P saying, I told him, if you don't get the deal you want, start looking.
We need to continue to dissect this and talk about this as the show unfolds.
What do you think about what Pat P said about Cardinals taking care of certain guys, or that why is Steve Keim not held more accountable? Send us a text about it. Just go to the FanDuel text line. Text us your answer to 620-620. But remember, we probably won't read what you say if you don't put your name on it. So do us a favor and please add your name so we can give you credit for it. Up next, what's next for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? There might be a new deal that's been reached. And how does that dramatically affect the Cardinals' playoff chances? We'll explain next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.